foremost prominent stress is laid on honouring Vaishnavas, especially the topmost Vaishnavas like old Guru Dev and old Guru Parampara. Every day, we give our pranam to Vaishnavas, Vanta, Kaupa, Taru, Vyakta, Kripa, Sindhu, Vaivata, Patita, Nam, Pavani, Vyo, Vaishnavi, Vyo, Namo, Namaha. This prayer, when it is directed in the lotus feet of the topmost Vaishnavas, like our Gurudev, its import and its potency is very deep indeed. I offer myself, my body and soul and heart, to the lotus feet of those Vaishnavas, devotees of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. They are so kind, why they picked up a fallen person like myself. They are engaged in rescuing me. The ocean of mercy. They are Vanta Kaupa Taru. Vanta means my desire. Kaupa Taru, like a wish fulfilling tree, they can fulfill my desires. Oh, what kind of desires? I have hundreds and millions of them. Useless ones, material ones. Will they fulfill these material desires? Oh, that's why this verse is qualifying. They are not only like a desire tree, but they are like Kripa Sindhu, ocean of mercy. Seeing this turbulent rising of my material desires, Vaishnavas are not fulfilling them. Instead, they are cutting them. Why? Because they can see there is a deeper desire. The desire of my eternal silent Atma. My innermost desire for perfection, that is, desire for frame, Krishna frame. Only Vaishnavas can see this thing in the hearts of conditioned souls. Externally, it appears that we are made up of millions of other useless desires. But a Vaishnava is one who can see in the depth of our hearts and detect that innermost hankering and deepest desire. That I should be engaged in sweet and loving prema to Krishna, Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. A Vaishnava is one who can detect this desire and satisfy it fully, completely. How they are so merciful, like a desire tree, wish-fulfilling tree. Krishna is certainly merciful. We know and we also pray it. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Dina Pando, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopesha, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namastate. Krishna, you are so merciful, like an ocean of mercy, so kind. So then, what is the need of Vaishnavas? Why don't we just pray to Krishna? Krishna's mercy is very strong and powerful. It is like the full blazing sun. If anyone is hungry and thirsty, then they can try and appeal to this blazing sun to satisfy their hunger and thirst, but they won't become satisfied. That blazing sun of Krishna's mercy will have to be translated into some other form in order for us to digest it and become satisfied. Who will translate that mercy? That is Vaishnavas. Like a tree. What kind of tree? Like a mango tree. A mango tree can catch the rays of this powerful sun by his leaves. And taking all the energy and the potency and the warmth and the strength of that sun, Krishna's sun, Krishna's mercy, this tree, Vaishnava, converts that sun's energy into sweet fruit, mangoes. And having this sweet fruit, the ripened form of Krishna's mercy, that tree bends down, touches this world and gives its fruit to us. That is the nature of Vaishnavas. What they are realizing, what is ripening in their heart, their nature is to give it to us. Their wealth and treasure, their sweetness, that form of Krishna's mercy which we can actually taste. We can experience it and we can become nourished by that and satisfied by that. So Vaishnavas are able to give us Krishna's mercy in such a form, in such a way that we can absorb and deeply experience that. They are Vanta Kaupa Taru, my innermost need, my innermost desire. Even it may be sleeping, this desire. Even it may be silent. But those Vaishnavas can detect that need and satisfy it. Who is the topmost Vaishnava? That personality descending in this world from Vrindavan, a transcendental person like our Gurudev. Everything in our life, devotional life, is resting on his grace and mercy. And he's distributing his sweet fruit. This year in Badger, Gurudev was talking about prem. How Vaishnava's mercy is that they want to distribute prem, love to Krishna. But this prem has two sides. One side is meeting, one side is separation. These two sides are not two different things. They are both two different sides of one thing, that is prem. Vaishnava's mercy is that prem can come in our heart. Sometimes they distribute their mercy in such a sweet way. That means, oh, sitting in front of us, giving us their darshan, giving their affection, telling Harikatha, oh, mercifully, we come into their association. This is their sweet kindness. And sometimes their sweet kindness manifests in another way, that is separation. But they are not before our vision. But this time of separation, separation from a Vaishnava, this is what nothing else than the other side of love, the other face of love, a different sweetness. Sometimes we may take the fruits of that Vanta Kalpa through and very tasteful, we find very nice. Sometimes we taste them and oh, they are more bitter, like medicine. But what is that bitterness? It is actually curing our heart. Another form of love, another kind of love. Separation is the speciality of this Gaudiya line. Line coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is our particular inheritance and wealth. Immediately we can realize it as separation from Vaishnava, from Gurudev. And as this separation purifies and cleans our heart, we will begin to realize it towards Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and towards Harinam, Hare Krishna, and towards Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And by this separation, gradually our heart will become very, very clean and clear and purified. Separation is not just some horrible thing that happens to us. Actually, it is the movement of the grace of Sri Guru in our life. Gurudev himself told on the first day of Kartik by telephone. You must remember he was talking about his Gurudev, separation from his Gurudev. He was also feeling so much separation. But he told, when my Guru Maharaj was present on this planet, at that time I didn't fully realize his mercy. But now, in separation, I'm realizing something. He said, how these books have come from my pen and my heart. This is the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, and I'm realizing this now. For 34 years after he's left this world, now I'm beginning to see the extent of his mercy in separation. He's giving a hint and an indication to us that this time of the separation is not a useless time, a wasted time, a blank and empty time. But that Sri Guru's mercy is moving very powerfully in that. We're so lucky and fortunate to have our Gurudev present with us in this world. But even within that presence, sometimes we find, oh, he's not directly in front of my eyes. Here I am living and trying to chant and be a devotee, but I'm not with him. This is also separation. And this time is also fruitful and valuable. We can realize something of his mercy in this time. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adopted this path of separation to realize and taste something about Krishna and Krishnanam. His final years were spent in a mood of deep internal separation. What was happening actually was realizing something about Hare Krishna, Radha, Krishna and Vrindavan. Was realizing something. But externally, he showed the path of separation. What was he tasting and experiencing in Gambhir? On the outside, it appeared to be most pathetic. internally was relishing so much beauty. Connection was coming in his heart. In transcendental Vrindavan, this same path, this same method of separation happens there too. When Krishna disappeared from the Rasa Lila, and all of those gopis had given their life and soul and heart and all at his lotus feet, left them in the middle of the night in the dark forest. They had run just from the homes of their families and left them. Why? So many different moods were jostling in their hearts when they met Krishna. So many different kinds of gopis were there. And all were thinking, I will be his beloved, I will be his beloved. All moods were fighting for supremacy in their hearts. And then Krishna left all of them. And they found what? Lamenting Sri Radha. Krishna left her. As separation rose in their hearts, something happened. The doors of their hearts completely opened. And Srimati Radhika's supremacy entered their hearts. By this way, by separation's way, Srimati Radhika's supremacy entered their heart and it made them qualified. And then Krishna came back. So, the path of separation, that means our Gaudiya line. To realize something of the power and potency of separation is not a useless thing. It is like gold going into the fire. In that fire, gold becomes pure. And if any other alloys, impurities become burnt away. There is a purpose. There is a strength. Raghunath Das Goswami prayed, Namasresta Manumati Satyaputra Masaraswa Rupam Rupam Tasya Gajamari Purim Masurim Gosravatim Ratafundam Girivaro Horadi Kamadvatam Sapta Yasya Prasita Kripaya Sri Guru Tangasosmi. He is praying to his Gurudev, how you've given everything to me. The very highest and best beautiful Jugal Nam Hare Krishna Nam and the association of so many Vaishnavas. And especially one thing, a very deep conception, Maturim Gosravatim. What happened in the hearts of Vrijavasis when Krishna left and went to Mathura? What happened there? What extent of love was revealed by the breaking of those hearts, Vrijavasis' hearts? This is the origin of our line of separation. And what we feel in very minute drip coming towards our Gurudev and Vaishnavas, its origin is there. Mathurim goes to Vatim to realize this frame of Vrijavasis as it was openly revealed in the time of separation. In Vajra, Gurudev said that separation is the other side of frame. If we want to realize frame, we'll have to first realize what is separation. For this reason, Vaishnavas come in this world and they felt their kindness and affection to us in such a way that we become completely attached to them. And then they leave and they go somewhere else, having just unlocked our heart enough that we can begin to feel some separation for them. Where did he go? That wonderful person. Where did he go? And he took my heart with him. By this method, we'll begin to realize the glory and the kindness, the sweetness of Vaishnavas, starting with our Gurudev, and eventually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radhika and Krishna. This method is shown by all and each of our acharyas. Even the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many of them, their deep association was with him by separation. In Vrindavan, we are lucky we can go to the temple of Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami and see Sri Sri Radha Raman. If we hear the story of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, his life and his relation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, really it's very painful. So much separation in his life. He met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was 10, he was just a little boy. And Mahaprabhu stayed in his home for the 4 months of Chaturmasya. During that time, Gopal served him. with his heart and his soul, and he gave his all in all to Mahaprabhu. In 4 months, such a deep connection of love and affection built between them. And then Mahaprabhu left. Gopal was weeping and he begged him, "Take me with you. I never want to leave your lotus feet." But Mahaprabhu said, "No, your parents are elderly. You should be with them. And when after they've left this world, then you should go to Vrindavan and you'll meet me there." Gopal took this instruction deep in his heart, and he stayed in his home. He cared for his parents, and after some time, they left this world. At that time, Gopal began to think, "What should I do now? My Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is in Jagannath Puri, I know. But he gave an instruction to me to go to Vrindavan. Going past Jagannath Puri, walking past him, where I know he is, to go to Vrindavan." His heart was torn. But deep in his heart was some sadha in the instruction of Mahaprabhu. And rather than going more close, nearby to Puri, where he could have a darshan directly of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, instead he took the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his heart and he went to Vrindavan. There, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to know that Gopal has arrived in Vrindavan. And he became overwhelmed with happiness. He followed my order. Remembering my order, he carried it in his heart for so many years, and now he's following my order. And he sent his own copings and cloth to Gopal. He gave him his own internal mood. And so much mercy he poured in him. Gopal didn't see him, didn't see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Instead, he entered in like an ocean of separation. Why? What is the purpose? There will have to be something in our life and in our bhajan which causes a transformation in the great fund and stock of knowledge and philosophy and mental understanding that we have about Krishna, to transform it into actual prema and love and affection. Something will have to occur in us. Otherwise we can learn everything about Krishna and prema and bhakti, and we can know bhakti, rasamrita, sindhu fully and so many slopes, but not necessarily feel any sweetness of love in our hearts. Something will have to happen that this siddhanta will be tasted as reality and beauty by us. Gurudev said that there isn't any difference between siddhanta and rasa tattva. There's no difference. But yet what one we think is dry and one we think is sweet and tasty. But really these things are the same thing. How will we realize it? Gopal Bhatta realized it by separation. He was weeping and crying and remembering Mahaprabhu, and he was worshipping his Salagram Sila. By his intense mood of separation and calling to his Lord, he turned the heart of his Lord, and something happened, manifested from that Salagram Sila. The form and beauty of Krishna came out automatically. Gopal didn't have to make it and do anything. Automatically, that Salagram showed his beauty. He became Radharaman. This is the function of separation. Salagram Sila already contains the beauty of Krishna, all the leelas of Krishna, his pastimes and his sweetness. But who can realize it? Normally, it just looks like a round stone. It's like Siddhanta. Full of all the wrath and beauty of Krishna and Vrindavan and his associates. But who can realize it? Oh, it just sounds like a lot of theories and thoughts. Something will have to happen. Hearts are churning by separation, by surrender. And from that Siddhanta, from that mental conception that we have of bhakti, a beautiful form will come out automatically. We can't carve love into our hearts. Will have to manifest just like Radharamanji manifest to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Everything that we know, everything that we hear, everything that we collect and hold in our brain will have to become transformed, touched by some outside and transforming power. And then it will become prema, deep realization. So some transcendental touch of emotion in our life. Separation time is meant for this. As everything we heard from the lotus mouth of our Gurudev, what we read in a book, or we heard about bhakti from anywhere, it will have to become real and tasteful and transcendental. One time Gurudev gave an analogy. He said it's like learning to swim. Learning in bhakti is like learning to swim. But right now, we're on dry land and we're very far from water. And all we have is books about swimming. And some teachers who know how to swim. But there's no water. We can learn all the theory. We can look at books and even see videotapes of many different techniques. Until we're actually dropped in the ocean and we have to start to move our hands and legs. We don't know what it is to swim. Separation of time is like being dropped in an ocean. Okay, now go swim. And all of a sudden we realize, oh, Gurudev, really I'm drowning in the ocean now. What do we do then? Do we forget everything you told us about swimming and drown? No, then we stop and move our hands and legs. Hare Krishna, everything you told me, now I will practice it. My life is depending on it. Without it, I'm drowning. And where is our teacher? They have not abandoned us. But they may be watching and seeing. Or you're swimming or not. If really you're about to drown, then I'll pick you up and save you. But I will see. Can you do some strokes? Anything that I taught you over the past 5 years or 10 years or 50 years? Anything? Do you remember anything? Or was it only strokes? Do you remember Uttahanistayat Dharayat Tattat Karmapavasana? Remember that one? Oh, do you remember it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Do you remember that one? At the time of separation, at the time of difficulty, at the time of drowning in the ocean, this is the time when we'll have to see and remember it or not. Our acharyas are endlessly, one by one, showing this example. Here in Vrindavan, do you know who are the founding Vaishnavas who established Vrindavan? Before Rupa and Sanatan came here even. Lokanath Das Goswami and Bhukarva Goswami. They came here very young boys, they were about 16 years old. Lokanath Das Goswami, who was a friend of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. And he had such a deep love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He made a vow in his heart, and holding the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told him, oh, Nimai, I'm taking a vow. I am taking Chitra Sannyas at your lotus feet. I will never go anywhere where you are outside of my vision. This is my vow. Chitra Sannyas, you know what it means? I'll never leave this holy place. He said, wherever your lotus feet are, I've dedicated my life to them. I'll never leave you. This is my vow. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. He said, oh, very good. In that case, not just my feet, but you should reside always in my heart. Yes, I will always reside in your heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know where is my heart? It is Vrindavan. I want you to go and reside in Vrindavan. Oh, Lokanath began to cry. Weeping, he said, no, don't send me away. How can you send me away? I just made my vow forever at your lotus feet. Mahaprabhu said, yes, I know, and because of this, for this reason, I'm sending you to the depths of the innermost chamber of my heart. You should go to Vrindavan. And pacifying him and consoling him in so many ways, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him away with Bhurgava Goswami, both together. Lokanath Das Goswami, from that day, he never again saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly face to face. He never saw him again. But he took his order into his heart and came here to Vrindavan. For 3 months he walked the road here to Vrindavan from Navadvip with Bhukarva Goswami. Both of their hearts were melting, breaking in separation. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a wonderful and incredible miracle through them. He told to Bhukarva, you are like the womb of Vrindavan. Garva means womb. Who means the land of sacred land of Vrindavan. You are the womb of Vrindavan. And my mercy has entered your heart like a seed. And from this, all of Rajamanda will begin to manifest. You will reveal everything. For years and years, Lokanath Swami Bhargava, studying shastras and wandering around here, were uncovering so many holy places, Giriraj Govardhan and the Jamuna's course, so many different forests, they're identifying so many places, and Thakurji's bunny, discovering Thakurji. Where was it coming? Manifesting from this divine, merciful order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, carried out in a deep mood of separation. All acharyas are showing everything. When Lokanatha Goswami heard that Nimai has taken sannyas, he couldn't believe this news. And he thought in his heart, I must go to him. He left Vrindavan and he began to go towards Puri. But when he arrived in Puri, he heard, oh, Nimai has gone to South India. And he began to walk there to South India. In South India, he heard that, oh, Nimai has gone to Vrindavan. And he began to run to Vrindavan. Arriving in Vrindavan, he heard, oh, the Lord has gone to back to Puri. His heart was breaking. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in a dream. Not like a sannyasi, with his beautiful curling hair and looking very young and very carefree and charming, just as Lokanath remembered from his school days. And he, in dream, he embraced Lokanath and he said, I don't want you to see me like a sannyasi, ever. I think this sight would break your heart. I don't want you to see me with a shaved head and become so skinny. I want you always to remember how we were friends. This is my eternal relation with you. How we were intimate, laughing friends together. And he sent Lokanath back, don't pursue me anymore. I'm present in you. You are deep in my heart, and I'm deeply present in your heart. In separation, Lokanath had such a relation with his Lord. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, Lokanath, Bhargava, Gopal Bhatta, these stalwart Vaishnavas had served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deeply for so many years in separation. They became the life and soul of the community of Vaishnavas. Rupa and Sanatan left this world quickly, and Raghunatha, he went into a deep seclusion. But Lokanatha, Bhargava, Goswami, Gopal Bhatta, they kept the flame alive for the Vaishnavas. They carried the torch of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. And they gave life to the Vaishnavas. And when others came there, they passed the torch to them. Srinivasacharya, Narottama, Shyamananda. Srinivasacharya, how his whole life is a catalogue of separation. His life is an example of serving and hankering and longing for Vaishnava Sangha in separation. Do you know who he was? He was the son of one devotee called Chaitanya Das. Chaitanya Das is the one who went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose head was shaved. He saw this head shaving and he became crazy. And he just began to shout, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He couldn't say anything else. He became crazy. In love with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in astonishment, what was happening? Oh, the Lord is taking from us. His son is Srinivasacharya. Even from his father's life, the separation grew, began, and came to fruit in his son. From his babyhood, Srinivasa heard the stories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his father, and he longed and longed to meet with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Serving his father, after his father left this world, Srinivasa began to run to Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On his way, he received the news, the Lord has left this world. He has finished his pastime here. Srinivasa never saw him face to face. He never saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But coming in a dream, entering deep in his heart, Mahaprabhu gave so much consolation to him. He told him, "Oh, quickly, come to Purim, and here, you should enter your life and soul at the lotus feet of my devotees. They are maintaining their life, holding on to the rim of their life, just waiting for you." So Srinivas, he ran to Puri, and there he met Gopal Bhatta, Goswami, Ramananda, Pur Ramadas, and so many devotees. He met them very, very briefly, and one by one, they also left this world, and advising him quickly go to Vrindavan to see Rupa and Sanatan. Srinivas ran to Vrindavan, but on his way, the news came like a thunderbolt: Rupa and Sanatan have left this world. Again and again, his heart was disappointed with this separation. What was happening? A fire was growing in him, so powerful and strong that it began to illuminate the whole world. After the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his close associate, this fire of bhakti, of prema, burnt in the hearts of devotees like Srinivas Acharya. And being so deeply drowning in separation, these devotees never gave up their inspiration. And they became more inspired, and they inspired others. Just like a tree, he is also suffering from the same burning heat that we're suffering from, but is able to give shelter to others. Himself is also burning, but he spreads his arms and he gives the shelter to others. This was Vaishnavas. What kind of separation are they feeling? Separation will be felt according to the degree of love that you have for a person. If you love them a little bit, then you'll miss them a little bit. If you love them a lot, you'll feel their absence very keenly. If you love them with your heart and soul with a transcendental flame, then your separation mood will be from heart and soul burning. So we can only imagine what kind of divine and transcendental separation our Gurudevs and Vaishnavas and Guru Parampara, what are they feeling? But yet they spread their arms and give a shelter to others who are burning only a little bit, or even not burning very much at all. Vaishnavas like these transcendental personalities, Lokanath, Bhurgarwa, Gopal Bhatta, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Sanatan, Raghunath Das, they are showing us how to live in Vrindavan really. Taking the order of their Prabhu on their head and their heart, and giving their life and soul to follow this order, whether it tastes sweet to them or whether it is bitter, whether it brings them into the fold of their Lord's company, or whether it sends them far away to any other place. Taking this order on their head, they do their bhajan more inspired, inspire others, and please their Prabhu. They are our acharyas, not only in name. That means they are our heroes, who we look towards, who I should be like. And their purpose, their direction, points always towards Vrindavan. What does it mean to live in Vrindavan? Vrindavan means like a collection, very, very many. And Van means forest. What is that forest made of? Made of kalpatru. Made of so many wish-fulfilling trees. That means Vaishnavas. Vrindavan means that place where so many Vaishnavas are assembled. Sadhu Sangha. Really to be under the shade and shelter of Sadhu Sangha, that means to be in Vrindavan. What kind of place is Vrindavan, and what kind of personalities signify sadhus? We pray, Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpa Dhumada, Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanastha, Sisi Radha Srila Govinda Deva, Prasthalidhi Sevimano Smarami. This is a root birth of Vrindavan. What does it mean? Divyad Vrindavaranya Kalpa Dhumada. There is a very powerful and strong wish-fulfilling tree. Who is that? it is my Gurudev. His arms and mercy is spread wide, and he has brought me under his shelter. What kind of tree is he? Dead Brindavan. He is from transcendental Brindavan. Brindavanasi, he tavata, prasita radha pranay prasar. Coming from there, transcendental Brindavan, he entered this world, bearing the message of service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. He is yet Brindavanya Kalpadhumala. This very strong and powerful, very beautiful desire to be my Gurudev. He is here. And what about him? What kind of personality is he? Srimad Ratnagara Singhasana Sam. Within his heart, he is very beautiful. Singhasana. Made of flowers, made of so many beautiful qualities, fragrant and sweet, and awesome feet. Radha and Krishna dwelling within his heart. Sisi Radha, Srila Govinda Deva. Not only Radha and Krishna, Sri Radha means Srimati Radhika, all of her sakis, and Sri, second Sri means all of her mandiris, who are serving her, who are loving her, who has relation with her. Sisi Radha, Srila Govinda Deva. And that transcendental Govinda, the taster of the hearts of all, who is accepting my service and love. These personalities are seated within that singhasana, flower heart kunja of my Gurudev. What he gives to us at the time of mantra is this very thing. His heart, beloved, Radha and Krishna, and Prishtali Visayamano Smarami, especially this, in mood. How dare Prishtali, their Prishtali means my dear friends. How are they serving them? He doesn't only give a picture of beautiful Radha and Krishna sitting beneath a desire tree. Not only just visually, but Prishtali Visayamano. How their beloveds are serving them. That means a relation. How will I serve them? What mood will I have? This Gurudev, transcendental Gurudev, and his inner heart, the treasure. This is really the root meaning of Vrindavan. To be there in Vrindavan means to come under the shelter of this Kalpato Vaishnava, topmost Vaishnava Sri Guru. What kind of excellent place is Vrindavan? Then we will realize it. If we will realize that Vrindavan which exists within the heart of Vaishnavas, then we will realize what kind of extraordinary place this is. Here is Chandra Sarovar. Chandra Sarovar is that place where Chandra melted in astonishment. Who is Chandra? He is the presiding deity of the mind and intelligence. What happened when he saw the divine play of Radha and Krishna? This mind, intelligence, philosophy, logic, home of logic, melted completely. This will have to happen. Our mind, intelligence and logic will have to melt. What will melt it? Divine and beautiful love of Radha and Krishna. Vrindavan is giving it proof and evidence of these deep things. We won't see or touch Vrindavan with our mind intact and our physical body. By mind, we can get some mental conception of Vrindavan. And by body, we can touch some physical aspect of Vrindavan. But really, only by heart can we know the heart of Vrindavan. That means by praying. Heart means to have some love and affection. And before we will have love and affection for any piece of land, for any place, we will have to have love and affection deep at the lotus feet of our Gurudev, who is Golpataru growing in the land of Vrindavan, giving fruits of Vrindavan, giving his own treasure of Vrindavan. Our love and affection will have to come there. And then, by this love and affection vision, we can begin to see the glory of Vrindavan. The amazing glory of Vaishnavas and our Guru Parampara, and especially the beautiful form and sweetness of Harinam Maha Mantra, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in this world to distribute. By deep and affectionate loving regard for Guru and Vaishnava, deep and affectionate loving regard will begin to permeate every aspect of our bhakti. Harinam, worshipping Thakurji, taking Mahaprasadam, living in Vrindavan, associating with Vaishnavas, love and affection will come into all of these aspects of our life when it is firmly situated there in the lotus feet of the Guru. So this is our aim and object, our goal. And having come into the very merciful association of Vaishnavas, we should understand that anything coming towards us by our environment is really meant to be helping us in this goal. Even it may be bitter tasting, like separation. Why did he go? Why didn't I go with him? But separation time is not useless. In separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopal Bhatta Goswami realized the swarup of his yesterday Radharaman tangibly and tasted that. The separation is valuable. In a practical way, we can understand how separation is valuable. Gurudev gave an example that when we meet with Vaishnavas and they give their mercy in the form of the Harikatha, this is like so many jewels. We collect jewels. But if we try and hold all these jewels in our hands, then we begin to drop them, we begin to lose them, and we can't collect any more because the hands are full. We have to do something with them. These jewels have to be made into one necklace. That means there has to be some links between these jewels. We make them. Sri Guru is giving the jewels. We make the links. Like a necklace, we then carry the merciful instructions, powerful Harikatha, beautiful description of Radha and Krishna and their love and affection. These are the jewels, and we forge links when in the time of separation. And then, bearing this, jewels of our Gurudev's mercy, held together by something of our own effort, something of our own determination, hands are free. That means the next time we see him, we can collect more. And he'll also see around our neck, very carefully, preciously preserved all the jewels that he gave us last time. And very happily, he'll see, yes, he values my instructions. See, she has done something with them. In her spare time, in her separation time, she wasn't lazy. She did something. And now she's wearing these jewels across her heart. I'll give some more. His heart will be touched. And his merciful inclination will be open towards us, and we'll also be able to receive more. And again, make links, make connections in time of separation. In bhakti, we must inspire our practice with this practical application of the mercy of Guru and Vaishnava. What they give by their affection and their Harikatha, we must ourselves take that and transform it into action. Not just become hopeless and think that when I see him again, well then at that time I'll again be inspired. But in these in-between times, this is a learning to swim time. There's only so much you can learn on dry land. This time now is all good. Sri Guru dropped us in the ocean of preparation. And now we have to swim. Everything we learned and heard from him, now we practice it. Like we're doing homework. If anyone is a teacher and they give a bunch of homework to their school kids, equally they give the same homework to everybody. And a teacher is an impartial person, they're equally inclined towards everyone. But if they see the next day that one person, bright and shiny, quick and clean, has done their homework, then a parent, that teacher's heart becomes softened towards them. Oh, okay, then I'll give you a little extra, I'll give you some more. It's not that the teacher becomes partial, but he sees, oh yeah, you're actually doing something. Okay, then you can have it. So Sri Guru also is like this. If he sees, oh, alright, then you're doing something, then he'll give Guru and disciples' relation is coming from both sides. Never forget this. Sri Guru is giving so much mercy, so from our side, we also need to receive it and do something with it. This is like Guru is giving diksha and we're giving dakshin. This signifies that this relation is from both sides. At the time of diksha, this relation is indicated. Just as diksha doesn't end, isn't given in a day, so also our dakshin is also not finished in a day by giving some fruit and the money. We have to really give fruit, that means the fruit of our heart. We give some wealth of our heart, our time, our energy, our effort. Eventually, our life, our soul, our all and all. And by this, we'll realize this relation of guru and disciple is two people. Holding. Gold frame on the Hari.
Thank you.